Well, I trust you've had a good, pleasant afternoon and are ready, not only as we've sung these praises to glorify God, but also as we focus in on His Word, that we do the same. I'd like to kind of continue the ideas that we began this morning in looking at the power of God. And one of the things that strikes you about the power of God is how He brings a lot of things together at the same time that are more powerful together than they are separately. It's a what's called a synergistic relationship. That is, where the power of the combined forces is greater than the sum of the forces separated. I'll try to illustrate that. And some of the synergistic relationships that we see in the world illustrated are a necessity for each other. They are codependent. They are interdependent in their relationship. For example, the honeybee and the flower. The honeybee goes from flower to flower to collect nectar so that it might make food for it to exist. But while it's going from flower to flower on its little hairy legs, it collects pollen. And so when it goes from flower to flower, it pollinates other flowers with that pollen, and those other flowers need the pollination in order for them to continue. So you have on the one hand the bee that needs the flower for the food, the nectar, and you have on the other hand the flower that needs the bee in order for the pollination to take place. So you have a codependent and interdependent, a synergistic relationship between the two. Even more specific, you have the yucca moth and the yucca flower, the yucca plant. The yucca moth crawls into the yucca plant and it collects its pollen. It has little special sacks that it puts it in. It flies away from that yucca plant and goes to a different yucca plant, and it crawls to the base of that yucca flower and it drills a little hole and it puts one of its own seeds in that hole, and then it goes up to the flower and it empties out all of its pollen. And that pollen cross-pollinates that yucca flower for it to continue. And with that pollen, it produces a lot of seeds. Well, the seed that the yucca moth put in the bottom of the yucca plant hatches, becomes larvae, and that larva eats the seeds of the yucca plant, at least some of the seeds of the yucca plant, for it to survive. And then the rest of the seeds are dispersed in the yucca plant is able to continue. So you have the yucca plant is not going to exist without the yucca moth, and the yucca moth is not going to exist without the yucca plant. You have Nemo, otherwise known as a clownfish, and sea anemo. Anemone. It's hard to pronounce. Anemone. The clownfish and the anemone. The clownfish goes into the anemone and it eats the invertebrates that are in the anemone, which would be dangerous to them if they were allowed to stay. It releases the produce that it has and that helps to fertilize the anemone. The anemone has spines or poisonous parts on it that protects the clownfish from being stung or from being eaten by something else, but the clownfish is immune to the poison that's in those barbs. So they coexist together. You have cleaning stations. You have fish that go to cleaning stations, and these cleaning stations, this particular one, this blue tang, is being cleaned by a shrimp. These shrimp go in and they get rid of all of the parasites. Or this grouper, it goes, little fish go in and they eat off all the little parasites. Now, this isn't, but this could be a lesson on evidences for the creation. Because how else could these interdependent relationships exist at the same time? Because one is not going to exist without the other. Evolution has a difficult time with this. I mean, they say that this is true because of coevolution. that you have, for example, the grouper and the little fish that eat the parasites at the same time are evolving together. And then since they evolve together, they have this interdependent relationship. Well, there are several problems with that. One of them is, which grouper said, hey, little fish, I eat fish for a living, but I'm not going to eat you as long as you clean out my mouth. And somehow came into some agreement, and that passed on in contract form from generation to generation. Another thing is, some of these are insects and others are plants, which by the rule of evolution have evolved millions of years separate from each other. I mean, how do you do that when each is necessary for the other to exist? We find it in a lot of other areas, this synergistic effect. Baking soda is a powerful cleanser. Vinegar is a powerful cleanser. But you put baking soda and vinegar together, and it becomes much, much more powerful. You might try this when you get it home. You also have, Well, I didn't have any slides for those. You have synergistic relationships in business, where one business can do a great deal, another business can do a great deal, but when those businesses are combined together, then they're able to accomplish things that they couldn't in otherwise accomplish. You have marriage, where you have one person and another person coming together, and they can affect things, they can influence things, they can work in ways that they cannot do even with the sum of the two parts added together. Synergistic relationships. God's wisdom, God's power is demonstrated in synergism, in two things working together and becoming more powerful. Well, we don't just see that in nature or economics or in marriage or in other relationships. We see it in the Bible. And I would like to look at three cases where God specifically uses synergism to accomplish His tasks. The first one, if you would, the book of James in the second chapter. Faith and works work together in order to produce salvation, in order to meet the condition for us to have salvation for our souls. In verse 22, this is James chapter 2 and verse 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and that by works faith was made perfect? Now, in the New King James, at least, where it says that faith was working together with his works, that word working together is from original word in the Greek, from which we get our word synergism. So synergism means the simultaneous action of separate agencies which together have greater total effect than the sum of their individual effects. There is a relationship with faith and works that accomplish something that they cannot accomplish by themselves. Faith is trust in God, and works is doing what God says, and when you put them together, they achieve something. Now, is it possible for us to have faith but not have works? Yes, it is. Is it possible for faith without works to save? No, it's not. It doesn't have enough power. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So James is making the point that belief by itself is not powerful enough, is not strong enough to get rid of our sin, to be the condition for us to have salvation. What about the other way? What if we have works, but we have no faith? We're doing what God says, but it's not out of a sense of trust and reliance upon God. Maybe we're doing it in order to earn our salvation. Will those works save us? They cannot. Because faith plus works is what's necessary. As he says in verse 22, that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. Faith was made complete. When you combine the two together, they are powerful. And he gives two illustrations of that. The first one is in verses 15 and 16, where he says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? So if an individual has love for a brother or sister, but does not have action, does not give them what they need, then there's no synergistic power there. It does not take care of their need. The same is true with faith and works. A second illustration, verse 21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? He trusted God, he believed in God, that God told him what he needed to do. He trusted God that God would raise Isaac back from the dead. And so he actually went to Mount Moriah and he put Isaac on the altar and he put the wood there and he took up the knife and he was going to kill him. He was going to act upon his faith. That combined those two together, God said, "Now I know that you have faith." Faith and works perfect one another. In verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Faith and works together are absolutely necessary, both parts, in order to be powerful enough to have the synergistic effect of bringing salvation for our souls. Now that's important for us to understand, because there are those who teach faith only. Apparently, James was aware of some in his time who were teaching faith only. And so he had to say, faith only is not enough. You also need works. And in today's day and time, we have that really as the majority rule within the denominational world, that is, of faith. Martin Luther, in fact, once wrote, and this is kind of a little bit of a review for those in the Calvinism class, because we talked about this a lot. But Martin Luther wrote about the book of James that we just looked at. He does violence to the scripture and so contradicts Paul and all scripture. He tries to accomplish by emphasizing law what the apostles bring about by attracting man to love. I therefore refuse him in a place among the writers of the true canon of my Bible. Martin Luther did not understand synergism. If an individual wants to be saved, he cannot say, I trust God, I believe in God, and then not do what God says. It cannot save. If an individual wants to be saved, he cannot say, I'm going to follow God and I'm going to go through all of the motions, but it's not going to be because I trust Him. That faith will not save him. James says, you must have both. God's power is seen in synergism. A second usage in the Bible is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul uses it in a different way, in a different context, different illustration of the power of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That term there in verse 1, workers together is from the same original word from which we get the word synergism or the synergistic relationship. We have Christ and His workers and the Christians combining together are the ambassadors of Christ, are the spreaders of the word of Christ. God wants everyone to be saved, and you can certainly see through history that God has done a tremendous amount of work in preparing man for the salvation, in sending Jesus for dying on the cross and the miracles and the truth that He taught of raising Him from the dead, of bringing Him back to heaven and sitting upon the throne. God has done a tremendous amount in order for mankind to be saved. But mankind is not going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ without us. Together, there is a synergistic relationship. There is a power that is greater than either one of the parts combined. God wants us to join with Him in this goal of saving people from their sins, of preaching the message of the gospel so that we can work together and we can have this effect. Notice in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul uses the word again, the same idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 9, "We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, you are God's building." That first term there, "we are God's fellow workers," is from the same word, synergism. We are with God synergistically working. If we go back up a little bit, he kind of explains that for us in verse 6. "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants anything or he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers." So Paul is not saying that you get the same glory as God in this whole salvation message. No, God is the one that gets the glory, but both parts are necessary in order for that to be accomplished, in order for the message of Jesus Christ to be preached. In the same book here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Yes, we have a privilege and a responsibility to enter into the team of God, to be partners with God. If mankind is going to be saved, God had to give His Son to die, but we must take the message to the world. And if we will take the message to the world, the combined power of God and our message is something that can bring about the salvation of the souls of those that we're able to come in contact with. God is always faithful. We need to be faithful in that partnership as well. Well, another context in which this is used, and that's the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28. Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." That word there, works, all things work together for good, is in the original the term from which we get the word synergism, or the synergistic effect or relationship. And in this context, he says everything. Everything is working together for good. Now that's a little bit difficult for us to understand because, well, there are a lot of bad things that happen in this world as well. Satan is at work. People are sinning. People are violating the will of God. How can it be possible for all things together to work together in order for them to produce good? Well, I think we have to understand it in the sense that he does not say all things are good. No, there are many bad things that happen in this world. But all things, by the power of God, come together, and when they come together, they are going to produce good. Just one illustration of that, if you go back a couple of pages here, chapter 5 of the book of Romans, we find the Apostle Paul talking about our salvation, and he says, we'll pick up the reading in verse 3, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." So the difficulties of life actually bring about a good event or a good effect, and that is that it brings about character in us, and ultimately, it brings about hope. Same idea in the book of James in the first chapter, verses 2 and 3. James talks about bad things, difficult things, actually bringing about good things in our lives. Chapter 1 of James in verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." We actually are benefited with the difficulties of life. We are actually benefited by the trials of life. Now, I don't think we should necessarily ask God for more and more and more trials. Plenty of trials are going to come our way. But when those trials come, we can have the confidence that everything in its sum total, all things are going to work together in a way that's going to produce good in our life, that's going to bring about character. And we see that in our children a lot of times. We send our kids to school. We put our kids out on the athletic field. We allow our kids to go out into life. And we know that it's going to be tough. We know that there are going to be temptations. We know that there are going to be trials. But we want them to have to face those, because the only way for them to build character, the only way for them to have character, it's a synergistic effect. The only way for them to have character is for them to face those trials and learn and grow and continue to learn to put their trust and their faith in God. So all things work together for good, for the salvation of our souls. This afternoon, I saw a little bit of the Olympics. Well, if you were able to see the race that took place, the women in the bike race. But at the end of the race, Martha said, "There's a sermon there." I wasn't exactly sure what she was talking about, but it fits perfectly with what I'm talking about here, the synergistic effect. There were a bunch of ladies that started on a bicycle race that went 85 miles, 137 kilometers. It's a long way. And particularly at the end of this race, there was a huge hill that they had to traverse, and then they had to go down the other side. Going up the hill really weeded out the field, and going down the hill at speeds of 45, 50 miles an hour, and it started to rain while they were going down the hill, was extremely dangerous as well. In fact, the lady that was in first place fell, and is supposed to be okay, but really don't know what kind of damage or injuries that she had. But the one that, once she fell, the one that was in first place was an American whose name was Mara Abbott, who trains in Colorado. First place. She had about, I think, 20 kilometers to go in first place. And so she was pedaling and pedaling and pedaling, and she had a 40-second lead on the pack. And notice that I said pack behind her. If you know anything about cycling, and I know very little about cycling except for what I see on TV, is that it is a real advantage to be with other cyclists while you're going down the road, to be able to draft off them and to be able to share in the load. When you're in the front and you're getting all of the wind, it takes a lot more out of you than if you're just behind them and able to save some of your energy because you're not in all of the wind. Well, here you had a young lady for 20 kilometers who had to finish that in order to get gold. She was all by herself. And there was a group of three ladies that eventually was in a pack that came up behind her. And they came closer and closer and closer and bit into that 40 seconds worth of lead that she had. And at 100 meters to go, at the end of 137 kilometers, 100 meters to go, all three of them passed her almost like she was sitting still. How? Synergism. They worked together. And they weren't even on the same team. They weren't even from the same country. One of them was from the Netherlands. She was the one that won. And the next lady was from somewhere else. And the third lady was from Italy. They weren't even from the same country. But they knew if they were going to catch that young lady that was in first place, they had to work together, because working together, they were stronger. Here we are in this world, and it's difficult for us in this world to be able to maintain our faith. God has given us illustration after illustration after illustration that there is power in synergism, that His power is manifested when multiple things come together, multiple influences, multiple powers pull together, so that together they have a greater impact, a greater influence. Let's take advantage of that synergism with our faith and works. Have both of them together. So for the salvation of our souls, work with God, preaching His gospel so that this world might hear about Jesus Christ, and recognizing that all things that are happening to us in this earth, the things that seem so good as well as the things that seem so bad, they're all working together for good so that we all can draft off of each other and we can finish the race together. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to come to Christ. Only in Christ is there salvation. Believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confess His name, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, to be born again, to begin a life working together with us, with the Lord, so that we can go to heaven. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one. If you are a Christian, if for some reason have gone back into the world, you can't make it on your own. Come back and let's work together to serve the Lord. Won't you come as we stand and sing?